On Mondays, we read from your letters. Our Veterans Day program on how war changes the warrior elicited a large response from our listeners. One listener wanted to make sure we didn't forget how war changes families. My husband, she wrote, physically returned. However, he never really came home. After an incredibly painful effort to keep our family intact, he walked away from me, our two sons, and home we physically built. Casualties of war include the wives and children who wait for their husbands and fathers to fully come home, realizing finally that they never will. Not all our listeners found war to be a negative experience. John Frondorf was a Navy officer on riverboats in the Vietnam War. He wrote, "Notwithstanding all the negative press at home, I felt alive, useful, needed, and patriotic. Not everyone came home with a syndrome." Last week, we also examined some of the allegations of voter fraud that have come up since November 2nd. Since then, a study of voting irregularities conducted by the California Institute of Technology and the Massachusetts Institute of Technology released an analysis of voting irregularities. MIT political scientist Charles Stewart wrote the final report. He joins us now to answer some of the questions we didn't get to. Welcome to Talk of the Nation, Professor.
Thank you.
So let's go to the most alarming allegation, that this election was stolen somehow. Is there any indication that it was rigged or someone hacked into the voting machines?
I've seen no evidence so far that any of that is true. What I've seen evidence of is that, as in every year, there is sloppiness in the administration of elections. There is some sloppiness in the counting of votes. And there's all sorts of what we would call asynchronous, or basically out of time and confusing election reports that are coming out that are giving an appearance at times that something's amiss in counting the votes, but nothing that looks like stolen elections.
Well, how is there any way to be sure, given that, you know, many of these electronic voting machines were not, you couldn't follow them with a paper trail, you just had to believe the results when they popped out?
You know, at some level, no one's going to be convinced by election officials just saying, trust us. And so what we've tried to do at the Caltech MIT Voting Technology Project in releasing a couple of reports is suggest some ways in which people can use publicly available data to try to test this hypothesis of rigging in a more systematic way.
We have a couple questions from listeners. This one is from Bob Tomkowitz. Has there been an attempt to explain the large discrepancies between the exit polls and the actual counts? What is the consensus so far as to how this could have happened?
There's been no direct publicly available answer to this. And to be quite honest, although I'm somebody who doesn't see a conspiracy in all this, it has to be said that the organization that actually did the exit polls has not been very public in helping us understand what went wrong. And so people who have experience with exit polls have had various hypotheses, and they range from problems with the sample itself to problems with perhaps Bush voters being more likely to lie about their vote than Kerry voters, for instance. There's a lot of explanations of that sort. None of them seems to be sufficient to explain the discrepancies that we find.
We have one final listener question, this one from Cheryl Jacobson in Tecumseh, Michigan. She writes, already there are charts and tables flying around the internet which show that the Florida and Ohio counties with Diebold machines showed an unlikely number of Republican votes in those counties. Is anything being done to outlaw the machines that don't have a written paper trail?
Well, there's two answers to that. One is to take on the empirical claim. There is no evidence out there that uses all the data that shows that it's the Diebold machines that are associated with these discrepancies. And in fact, in some reports have actually mischaracterized Ohio. Remember, Ohio was planning on buying a bunch of Diebold machines, but they pulled out of that agreement. So some of these analyses where they're assuming that Ohio has Diebold machines, those counties don't have them. In the case of Florida, again, almost all of these counties are using paper ballots of one sort or the other. So just the empirical premise is wrong. Secondly, when we look at the location of these discrepancies using actual voting returns, we discover that In the case of Florida particularly, the discrepancy is due to the fact that there still is old Dixie in the panhandle of Florida, people who register as Democrats but vote as Republicans, and they've been doing that for 40 years, and there's nothing new about the 2004 election. The second part of the question is there anything being done to outlaw these machines? Yes, there are bills in Congress, and there's all sorts of legislation in state capitals right now to require some sort of audible paper trail that would go along with these electronic machines.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Charles Stewart is a professor of political science at MIT. You can find a link to the Caltech MIT Voting Technology Project online at npr.org. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions, please email them to us. The address is totn@npr.org. Please tell us where you're writing from and how to pronounce your name. In Washington, I'm Joe Palca, NPR News.